Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising children in a culture saturated with media and technology. I am your host and the founder of Brave Parenting, Kelly Newcomb. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another week. I've got a lot to cover this week because OpenAI, the creators of ChatGPT, has released an AI social media platform. Yikes, the whole thing is a hot mess, and you as a parent need to know about what is going on with this. So the app is called Sora, and you might have already noticed by the title of this podcast. So I'll just tell you straight up, keep your kids off of this app. There is nothing good, right, beautiful, or true in this app. Now, if you don't have time to listen to my entire podcast, the description, the details of Sora, although I think it's really valuable for you to know so that other parents you can educate and can help them with their own kids. But if you don't have time to listen, then just take my word. You can trust me. It's awesome. It's fine. And you just tell your kids, hey, no, we're not actually going to use that app. And then you can just move on. That's okay. But if you have the time, I really do encourage you to listen in because Sora is such a hot mess. I'm actually going to say it's probably better to use Instagram than it is to use Sora. Okay. So for those who have time, let's get right into it. What is Sora? So Sora, and that's S-O-R-A, it's an artificial intelligence tool that generates realistic, high-quality video from a text prompt. Now, the first videos from Sora were released in February of 2024, so last year. And I can still remember my husband saying, you know, Kel, you have got to come see this. You know, it was really a simple video, but it was incredible, right? Because we understood, like, someone just typed in what they wanted to see, and AI was able to create a video of this. I think it was just someone walking down the streets and remembering there's like cherry blossoms, and it just looked very realistic. And it was hard to believe that that wasn't real, that it was AI generated. And I remember at that time talking about it like, wow, really, this is the future of videos for movie making and really like keeping truth and artificial intelligence separate. Like, what was that going to look like when you could make videos from a text prompt? And that was not even 2 years ago we were talking about this. And so here we are with Sora released to the public. Well, the first iteration of Sora was actually released in December of 2024. So less than a year ago, it was accessible to ChatGPT Plus and Pro subscribers. Now, we do have a Plus, ChatGPT Plus subscription. My husband and I do. And I did try and make some videos, but I'll be honest, the first iteration of Sora really didn't produce anything that fantastic. You have to be very, very specific in the prompts. And I just didn't have the time or the care really to create something fantastic. But it was a very, very kind of neat tool to just be able to see what its capabilities were. Well, here we are now, 10 months later, Sora 2. So a more advanced version of Sora has been released, and it was released simultaneously with OpenAI's iOS app. Okay, so this is a huge improvement from its predecessor. It can now get like the body physics right. And realism is just, it's incredible. I mean, I think they show a video. You can see it on our Brave Parenting Guide to Sora that's available on the website. I have a link to OpenAI's YouTube video there where they're introducing Sora to. And it's like a figure skater. And so to get the body physics down of a figure skater, you know, doing like a triple axel or something on the ice, that's really incredible. And so that's kind of how far it's advanced. Okay, so that leads to the next question of, then what is the Sora app? So the Sora app was just released on September 30th. It is a social iOS-only app, so it's not available on Android, and it is powered by Sora 2. And so it combines video creation capabilities with a social feed, and that's what makes this very unique. Now, when it first came out, September 30th, October 1st, right around there, I was like, oh, okay, so they just gave video creation through an app. No big deal. I had no idea that they actually were releasing a social component, of course, until all of the controversy started, which I'll get into. The app has a 12 plus rating in the App Store, but according to OpenAI's terms, you have to be 13 years old with parent permission to, or parent or legal guardian's permission in order to use the app. Now, of course, we all know that's not even enforced because there was, when I downloaded the app, there was absolutely zero question about age or anything like that. Now, granted, you do have to sign into an account. That's probably where you're gonna get in. But if a child is really savvy, they can totally get around this. Now, according to OpenAI's announcement, this is what they say the Sora app is. They say, quote, inside the app, you can create, you can remix others' generations, you can discover new videos in a customizable Sora feed, and bring yourself or your friends in via cameos. With cameos, you can drop yourself straight into any Sora scene with remarkable fidelity after a short one-time video and audio recording in the app to verify your identity and capture your likeness, end quote. Okay, now before I move on and talk about all those details of what's involved in this app, I just really want to make sure you understand that this is a social app, a social media app with friends and followers, with direct messages, with algorithms, and an endless feed of content. This is not just a tool for video creation. Okay, so now let me break down some of the features of the Sora app. First, of course, is the feed. And it is a feed of nothing but AI-generated videos. So on the one hand, it's like, okay, at least people can go into this app with the understanding that zero of the videos and none of the content is real, that all of it is AI-generated. So it's not like scrolling some other social media feed like on Instagram or TikTok and wondering whether or not something is real or not, because you have really no way to know. With Sora, you do know. You know it's all AI generated. It's all fake. So OpenAI justifies why they now have a social feed of AI generated videos with their mission that states to, quote, help people learn what's possible and inspire them to create, end quote. Now, can we just go back a little bit and remember that Facebook's original mission was to connect everyone around the world? And that sounded so altruistic, just like helping people learn what's possible, right? It sounds really good. But we look at Facebook, they essentially have connected everyone around the world. And we now know that it isn't the glamorous benefit to humanity that everyone thought it would be. You know, so we should not assume that OpenAI's goal of helping people learn what's possible is actually going to have a net benefit for all of us in society. So OpenAI, so they so generously break it down, their philosophy of their feed in a blog post. And in one sense, I do get that they're being really transparent, and I guess that's good because a lot of platforms like TikTok and like Meta's, they are not transparent into what is, quote, the philosophy of their feed. So they cite on this blog post that their core principles that are driving the feed are, number one, they're optimizing for creativity. They claim that they are going to favor creativity and active participation rather than passive scrolling. So in fact, they did say that their goal was to avoid doom scrolling, but they didn't say how they were going to do that. So, you know, again, really great to just say that because it sounds good. But if you're not actually doing it, it means nothing. Now, when they say they're going to kind of favor active participation, that means like the people who don't post anything, they just scroll. Okay, they're not going to be favored. But what does that really mean? What does it mean to not be favored because you're not actively posting something? That you're going to see more of the slop type of AI videos instead of the good stuff? Like, they don't explain any of this. So in one sense, I think, yeah, it's great that you gave us this information. But in the other sense, we really have to think critically and say, this is all just a bunch of fluff. Okay, let's go on to number two. They say that they are going to put users in control in that you can tell the algorithm what you're in the mood for. Again, it sounds like you're in control, but ultimately, from my experience using the app, it's really just the filtering of content. So you can choose maybe like what you're in the mood for. And it doesn't give you like a drop-down list of options. Like you can actually type something in. And so without knowing what to type in, I just typed in cats. And sure enough, I got an endless feed of AI cat. I mean, some of it was funny, but most of it was just stupid. It was just the slop that they call it. But it was everything from a cat napping by a window in the sunlight to like a K-pop band of cats called Neon Paws dancing and singing on a stage. I mean, it's so unrealistic. It did make me laugh. But again, I could have totally lived without that content in my life. Okay, number three, they're going to prioritize connection. They say that this app is made to be used with your friends. Okay, that's just absolutely a lie. It's such a lie, it makes me angry that they say that these social platforms are for your friends to engage with, because these online spaces that are algorithmically controlled by big tech, they cannot facilitate true human connection. So while you may have friends on there, you may talk about the stuff that you see on there with your friends, that place, that space online is not where you're actually connecting and having true, deep, meaningful relationships. So they can say the app is made to be used with friends, but it is also just really easy to sit at home alone and get lost in creating dumb videos, right? You know, in order to see what's possible, or scroll through other people's dumb videos. That's the bottom line. So I'm going to discuss cameos here in a minute, but I know that that's primarily why they are saying that it's made to be with friends. But in the end, again, real friends do not spend their time making video type memes of each other. That's just not what real friends do. And we know this, that maybe what like teens do, but we also know that that's not healthy. That's not what we should be promoting that they do in their time together as friends. Okay. And then the last point that they make is that they're trying to balance safety and freedom. They say that they have robust guardrails that is going to prevent unsafe or harmful generations from the start. Now, I think it's funny that they said from the start, because they have already had to push new updates of the app out because there was such pushback from users being able to use like copyrighted characters, such as SpongeBob or South Park characters, you know, as well as deceased celebrities, that they've had to kind of recreate that. And so I'm not sure how robust they really are from the start. When I first tested it, I did try and create a video, and my first prompt was blocked because I was curious to see if they're really blocking celebrities and that sort of thing. And so I had asked it to generate a picture of Mark Zuckerberg reading and taking notes in my book. Again, in my head, I thought that was funny, but again, it's just slop. It's stupid. I wasn't going to post it or do anything with it, but I was just curious if it would do it. And immediately it was like, nope, that violates our copyright. So we will not create that video. So in a way, okay, good. They're actually upholding these, you know, robust guardrails. Now, they also do give you some insight in this philosophy of their feed as to how your feed is determined. And they act like it's different than any other social media feed, but it's not. It's not at all. It's no different than every other social media platform. But I think, again, they're trying to appear virtuous by sharing this because other apps don't. So they say that it's your activity on Sora. Again, that's that engagement, that, you know, your active participation, as well as your engagement signals. Now, they don't describe exactly what that is, but we know that your signals are, you know, how long you linger on a video, how many times you re-watch a video, and they're looking at all of the metrics of that video so that they can feed you more of that content. It's the same exact thing that TikTok does and every short form video does. And this is just what this is. This is more short form videos, as if the world needed another feed of short form videos. Like TikTok wasn't enough, YouTube Shorts wasn't enough, Instagram Reels wasn't enough, and now we've got short form AI fake videos to keep scrolling through. Okay. So let me move on. So they also do say, I think this is interesting, that they look at your ChatGPT data. So every question or conversation that you've ever had with ChatGPT, with that chatbot, could technically be used to determine what you see in the feed. Now, with that said, you know, Ryan and I share this ChatGPT account, and so it's full of like programming questions, robotics questions. I mean, like really high level, I would say, as well as like maybe media type of questions. And I saw nothing that even remotely resembled anything that we would have ever asked ChatGPT in that feed as I looked at it. So I don't know, take that for what it is. But it's interesting. I think it's important to recognize that those conversations, everything that is being asked and questioned and everything that's said within ChatGPT is being stored and being used. And now it's being used to drive this feed. Okay. Now, let me just, in case you haven't realized already, I want to just be very clear. What is the problem with having a feed of AI-generated videos? It's pretty obvious, but while, you know, the look and feel of the feed, it just completely mimics TikTok, which in my opinion, I guess also mimics, you know, YouTube Shorts even and Instagram Reels. They all look the same. And when you first start up, there's a pop-up box that tells you everything you are about to see is fake. So, which is great. I like that. I actually wish they would pop it up every time you open the app, because there was several times I would close the app and go back in because I needed to look at something else as I was doing my research. But that only came up once. I think it would be a great idea for that to come up every single time. Because once you're in it, once you're looking at these videos, it's like you have to remind yourself when you're there, oh yeah, this is all fake. This is all fake. Because I mean, some of it, it's obvious. The videos are just garbage. They're, you know, they're unrealistic. They're very fantasy driven. But some are so realistic. You know, I found myself thinking, and I had this real thought, how did this person get a real video in here? And then I had to stop and say, oh, wait, they just must have written a really good prompt in order to get this, because it was just very realistic. And it felt like, you know, it was a video of, I think, someone creating them of themselves. So they kind of did a cameo of themselves singing or rapping. They're basically doing something to showcase their talent and skills. And it felt like that's something that you would see on social media. And because of that, it made me think that it was real. But nonetheless, you have to just remind yourself, this is not real. But because it's this different type of feed, you know, you're not going to get news stories or clickbait headlines. I think it's easy to see how people enter into the app with just this like curiosity, insatiable curiosity. Like, I just want to know what kind of like AI videos is out there. Like, I'm very curious of what kind of like fidelity and amazing clarity and realism is in these videos. And so you're curious, but then you get in there and you start scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and then you can't get out. And because their goal of participation, you know, over scrolling is there, but there's nothing that prompts you to say, hey, how about create a video? There's nothing there. I mean, I intentionally scrolled for way longer than I wanted to just to see how they were testing this, how they were going to like try and have their goal of me participating take place. And there was nothing. I literally could have scrolled forever and there was nothing stopping me. And again, we can't forget what we've learned about the social media feeds over the last 20 years almost, is that you, the user, you, the scroller, you who are just watching, you are the product being sold. That's always how it's been, because it's about data collection to sell to advertisers. Now, OpenAI doesn't necessarily have advertisers on there yet, right? And they can boast these wholesome intentions about helping people learn what is possible. But we know the primary reason for creating a feed for people to post and for people to scroll through those posts is to collect data. That's been the goal from the beginning of these social feeds, and there is no reason for us to believe that this is actually different. There's no reason. This is the exact same thing as Facebook, as Instagram, as TikTok, as all of the social endless scrolling feeds is they just want to collect data. Okay. So now let me explain what cameos are, because we got to get into this, because this is, well, not only is it a popular feature, but I think it's the worst feature. Okay. So what are cameos? Cameos let you cast yourself, or you can cast any friends that have approved you to do so, as a character in the video that you're creating. So OpenAI states that setting up a cameo is opt-in, and it just includes a quick video and audio verification so that Sora can represent you accurately and prevent misuse. So when you first download the app and you've logged in with your, I think you can log in with several different accounts, but I logged in with our ChatGPT Plus account because that was the only way I thought that we were going to be able to gain access. One of the very first prompts that they give you is, it says, star in any video, dot, dot, dot. You can let Sora users add your likeness and voice to videos. Now, they also have a very small skip button at the top right. Of course, that is what you need to hit. If you are going to research this app for your own, you know, knowledge and purposes, do not do this, right? So I'm just going to be very clear what it is. This is deep fake videos. There's nothing different. It is a deep fake video, and it's not on the dark web or some sketchy app that nudifies your classmates or whatever. These are deep fake videos where you can make a video of someone else doing just about anything and everything that you could write into a prompt and then get a realistic video of exactly that. Now, yes, they do have guardrails. They're not going to allow you to create some pornographic scene, and that can be good. But just because they can't do a pornographic scene doesn't mean that they cannot do something incredibly embarrassing or shaming or bullying. I mean, there's just tons of possibilities there. Now, OpenAI insists that, quote, videos that include your cameo, including drafts created by other users, they are always visible to you. This lets you easily review and delete, and if needed, you can report any videos featuring your cameo. Okay, so as I was researching the app this week, I had the thought in my head, like, man, if you can see everybody who's posting your cameo, like if you allowed your cameo to be used by anybody and everybody or a lot of people, that having to like look at every draft or every video that someone might be using of you, well, gosh, that sounds like it'd be like a full-time job of approving or rejecting or deleting people's videos because you don't like it. Because remember, this is your complete likeness. This is a video that is, people could get confused that this is not real. If it's taken outside of the Sora app and it's shown, it could be easily misconstrued as reality because of what it is. So lo and behold, let me just describe this entire situation to you. And that's the situation with Jake Paul. This is important of understanding this whole idea of cameos. Now, if you don't know who Jake Paul is, he is a 28-year-old influencer. He's like a professional boxer and actor. And so he started back in the day posting videos on Vine. If you remember that platform, it was like short form video before TikTok became a thing. And he was like a teenager. It was like 2013. And he had like 5.3 million followers before the app shut down. And when it shut down, he went over to YouTube and became one of the first really big YouTube teen influencers. And he was really kind of known for pranks and controversies. And I think he was even writing, like doing hip hop music or something like that. So that's kind of who he is. And I say all that because this is a man who loves the spotlight. It would really seem that this Jake Paul is not afraid of any controversy. I mean, based on his very long history, he was only 28, but of scandals and allegations, you may have heard his name before. I think he was, I don't know, maybe he did, but like box Mike Tyson. So anyway, along with Sam Altman, which is the CEO of OpenAI, Jake Paul decided to publicly grant his likeness to be used in cameos across all of Sora. So you could create a cameo with Sam Altman, and that could be whatever. I don't know why the CEO did this. I guess there's probably some publicity or whatever reason. So Jake Paul did this as well. Well, you know, I love what this article from Futurism wrote. They said basically these people like decided to throw themselves at the mercy of meme lords everywhere. Because that's the kind of people who are on Sora right now, are people who just kind of have this desire to create funny videos and memes. And that's where I can really see this Sora being used for, especially as memes. Well, what happened is that everyone who was on Sora began making videos of Jake Paul coming out as gay, coming out as trans. He was, there's a video of him like stealing makeup from Sephora and he's wearing a dress. They have videos of him doing makeup tutorials. And I mean, this is a very manly man. Like, he's actually been accused of a lot of toxic masculinity and all this. And so you have to kind of understand that's where the internet decided. That's where people using Sora decided to take him. And so what's funny is when I first started testing Sora, I was like, man, why am I seeing all these videos of Jake Paul? I literally was like, oh, he must have publicly gave his, you know, cameo out. And they were all just so stupid that I thought that, you know, but obviously I think the whole app was stupid. But that same day, what I thought was so interesting, the same day, Jake Paul actually released a video on his official Instagram where he says, you know, I've had it with all this AI stuff. It's affecting my relationship and my businesses, and y'all need to get a life. I'm going to sue everyone who's spreading these false narratives about me. And so it's like, oh, wait a second. At first, I heard it. I read that in an article. And then I actually went to his Instagram to see the video itself. And here's the funny thing. While he's saying this, he's literally like haphazardly like putting foundation on himself. So he's saying, I'm going to sue you, while he's putting foundation on, saying, you know, you're creating all these narratives of stuff I would never do. I mean, so clearly he's playing the part well. He's being, you know, the good butt of the joke. But if it wasn't on his official Instagram page, I would have had to, you know, wonder. I mean, I did wonder, is this real? Did Sora create this? I mean, it's hard to say. But that's precisely the problem. That is the exact problem, that this type of use of AI, this deep fakes for the sake of entertainment. The problem is it will cause absolute confusion about truth and reality. Now, Jake Paul can handle this, right? He's worth millions, if not billions. And again, he isn't afraid of his name to be associated with scandals and drama. Okay, but what happens when this finds its way into middle schools and high schools? What happens when people find hacks around Sora's controls and they're able to create deep fakes of classmates who've not given their permission for their cameo to be used in order to make fun of them or to bully them, right? To get them in trouble, to stir up controversy, to accuse them of some massive wrongdoing or whatever. I can guarantee you that the average 13-year-old will not be able to handle their likeness and their voice appearing in a public video doing shameful or embarrassing acts, right? They won't be able to handle it with grace and wit like Jake Paul did. It'll be disastrous because they don't understand the future. I mean, of what? Where's that video going to go? I mean, that to them, that would be soul-crushing, life-destroying type of content being out there. I mean, just look at the history of girls and boys who have sent nudes. I mean, then those are real pictures that they were actually involved in. And then when they get spread around, the shame that is associated with it has led to suicide. So I can't even really imagine the disaster that this is going to eventually cause among young people who have access to this app and who have the ability or the savviness to do this with what they probably think is funny, entertaining intent, but really it's evil. Even though some people will know that it's fake, even if everyone knows that Sora generated, when you see these videos, it does not stop the human brain from remembering it, from playing that clip on a repeat, you know, maybe every time they see that kid in the hallway, right? You can't just not associate those images with that person anymore. I mean, to be honest, I don't know if I'm going to be able to see Jake Paul the same after seeing so many videos of him doing makeup tutorials or wearing dresses. Like, sadly, in my research, like, that's now burned in my brain. It would be different if Sora only allowed you to create something that was like totally fantasy, you know, things that are not even possible in reality. But it's not. You can create everything that's completely reality, right? A 13-year-old bully is not going to make the object of their bullying like walk on the moon or do something, you know, that's just we know is not possible, but like looks real. No, they're going to take it to most likely an extreme in a perverse way. They're going to make images that are terribly embarrassing, but theoretically possible in the everyday realm. Now, I'll just mention here some of the controversy surrounding this cameo feature. There's been a lot of videos created also of deceased celebrities. Maybe you've seen these in the headlines. I saw a lot of that. Was one of the things that I was like, what? What is going on with this Sora app? Why are we hearing about copyright characters being used and these deceased celebrities and everybody's getting mad? And I was like, I've really got to research this. But people like Robin Williams, Bob Ross, Mr. Rogers, and MLK Jr., you know, are some of the most common generated videos. I know when I was researching, I saw tons of those four people. I mean, not to mention upon its immediate release, as I mentioned, that they were allowing these copyrighted characters to be used in really, I would say, kind of, I don't say depraved ways. I mean, it wasn't like sexually explicit, but just really dumb ways that, of course, the people who own the copyright didn't want those characters to be doing in videos. Now, so after that intense backlash over the copyright concerns, as I mentioned before, OpenAI changed their policy within 1 week of the release. And so now, rather than an opt-out policy for copyrighted characters, now they have an opt-in. I mean, yeah, on paper, opt-out policy probably sounds really good. But who's to think that all these media companies are going to actually like actively notify OpenAI that they didn't want their characters used in AI-generated videos? So, of course, companies like Disney and the Motion Picture Association, all of them, you know, just were all in a tizzy, pretty much all of Hollywood, heavily criticizing OpenAI. So, of course, they came out and they changed their policy. Okay, so now with that said, let's ask the next logical question. Are cameos a good idea for teens? Well, I think you've already probably know my opinion, but I'm going to state it very clearly. There are nearly zero practical reasons why a teen would need the Sora app and would ever need to use their likeness to be in videos. Now, Ryan and I really thought deeply about this and thought, okay, what are possible legitimate scenarios or reasons why a teen may need to use this? And the only scenario that really came to mind for us as legitimate was in, say, a cinematography class. Maybe you're in high school, you're taking cinematography. Those students produce short films over the course of the semester, over the year. And honestly, it would be really easy and probably practical to teach those students how to appropriately use Sora and maybe even use their likeness if it was necessary to create B-roll footage for their films. B-roll footage is just a necessary part of filmmaking, and it's sometimes difficult. And so, yeah, I mean, Sora could do just that. Now, there may be other legitimate and purposeful reasons, and you can tell me if you know them. But for the average teen, there is just no reason other than curiosity, other than entertainment, and honestly, other than like the morbid desire to create deepfakes of people. That should not be an actual goal that we allow, for a reason why we would ever allow these type of cameos to be done. Because it just is going to lead to massive trouble with immature teens. You know, but aside from wasting time, because I think that it really does, I think there are more deeper and existential concerns, you could say, that come along with creating false realities as a pastime. And these are important. These aren't like the bullying, the creation of deep fakes. That's really easy to kind of grasp onto. But when it comes to raising children with a biblical worldview, we also have to consider these more existential realities about truth and life and creation. And so one of the reasons is that cameos blur the lines of reality. Teens should not use this app because they blur the lines of reality. Now, to be human, we know that it means that we are bound by time and space. We have to obey the laws of reality that God has given us, and He's called good. And these cameos allow for realistic imagery of what will never be. You know, it's the same reason why we at Brave Parenting strongly advocate against using AI filters, whether for fun, if you're like, you know, whatever, like your tongue is a rainbow, or for beauty, because it gives you a very realistic view of what will never be. And it doesn't matter if you tell yourself this is a filter, you tell yourself this isn't real, those images do something to you. Your heart and your mind remembers those images and desires that reality. We know this because we have seen young girls over the last 10 years, like plastic surgeries have increased because they've wanted to look like their Snapchat selfies, the filtered versions of themselves or the filtered versions of someone else. They want to be, you know, thin like this influencer or that celebrity, even though that may not actually be real. Right? That could be Photoshop. That could be filters. But they've seen it. Their eyes have seen it. And now they desire it. These images have great power on the human brain. I mean, this is exactly why we also say, you know, to guard kind of what you watch. It's why online pornography is so harmful to young children, because those images can't be unseen. They wreak havoc and despair in their mind as they try and reckon with them. And these AI videos, I mean, yes, I understand. The cat videos, they're not going to wreck your brain. But the videos that seem so realistic of people that you know or people that you want to be and they create this reality that you desire, that is very dangerous. And we've already seen this. This is not like this is coming out of left field. We know that these images that you see, even if you tell yourself it's not real, they have a major impact. Another reason is that cameos normalize deception, fantasy, and exploitation in the name of entertainment. Over the years, as I've been analyzing everything AI, you know, there's been this universal understanding that deep fakes were harmful. Deep fakes were always associated, originally with the pornography industry. You know, throughout the 2010s, I mean, the term deep fake, from what my research, stems from a Reddit feed that was using face swapping technology to create porn of celebrities. That's kind of where that name ended up stemming from, is the deepfake. Ever since then, it was almost always assumed nefarious. There was never a good or moral, ethical use of deepfakes. Well, now here we are in 2025, and deepfakes are like now fun. That's what Sora is creating. And I love what this NPR article reported. It said, quote, "It's as if deepfakes got a publicist and a distribution deal." So what is happening is OpenAI is trying to change the narrative. They are trying to flip what we have come to believe about deepfakes being inherently harmful to individuals and to society, and they're flipping it and calling it entertainment. They're calling it a way for you to engage joyfully. Sam Altman uses the word joyfully with your friends. I mean, they say it's like the most joyful part of the Sora experience. That's crazy, right? Because this is still deep fakes. And the sad reality is that teens may not know the difference here. Maybe they know what a deep fake is. They've heard of it. But I don't think they're going to have the same apprehension that we as adults who remember that deepfakes were always associated with online pornography. And they're not going to know that. And so they're not going to have that like immediate guard up, like, wait a second, this is really just a deepfake. You know, there's maybe something morally or ethically wrong with that. And this app, you know, with this task to discover what is possible, it's going to convince them that, yes, deepfakes are fun. They are entertainment. Everybody come in. This is what everybody's doing now.
And that is ultimately just wrong. And that's why teens should not be using this Cameo. And the third reason is, of course, that allowing a data collecting giant like OpenAI to have access to your biometric data for your likeness and voice, it isn't necessary, nor is it wise, right? And this is something that young people have to be taught about because, frankly, so do parents, right? We have to remember as much as possible, and we know that it's not 100% possible to limit the internet's access to your data, but we do need to teach kids about the biometric data, about giving them your likeness, giving them your voice. That's very different than giving them the data of what you're scrolling and what you're lingering on. I think that that's very different because your likeness, I mean, that is you. That is the image of God that you bear as a person. And if that ever gets leaked or sold, you know, then your likeness and voice could be used for who knows what. And that matters. It matters right now. It matters, you know, for your integrity, for your mental health. It matters for your future career, your future marriage, all of that. And so we have to recognize that OpenAI's guardrails, as they say, these robust guardrails, they're really only as good as their enforcement of them. You know, they can have it all on paper, they can put it in a blog post, but if they don't follow through, then their guardrails are pointless. If someone creates a workaround and has access to my likeness, you know, and creates videos of me, and I report that, well, it better be shut down fast, and there better be action taken against the person who did that. You know, it's just like Facebook and Instagram, though. You know, they say all the time that they care deeply about safety, but they do nothing about stopping young girls from seeing thinspiration content or restricted eating content. They're not doing anything to stop young girls from being harmed. But OpenAI says that they're going to. And I mean, that's really the question yet to be determined is if they will. But nonetheless, we should not be giving them our biometric data unless it was necessary. And for most people, as I said, it is not necessary. So in the end, the answer to whether or not, I would say all people, but definitely teens, definitely young people to use this app is absolutely no, especially Cameos. They are not a good idea for anyone, but especially teens. Okay, so that's kind of the basic gist of Sora and why it needs to be kept out of the hands of teens. But I really want to look at scripture because that is, you know, our foundation. That is what helps us stay grounded in our decision to say, no, we are not using this app in our home. And so we want to look at what scripture says. And we know scripture does not talk about artificial intelligence, but you would be amazed at how much, I mean, there's so much. I could probably create an entire podcast on it about what it says in regard to what Sora is doing in the sense of creating and likeness and image bearing. So let's just start in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And verse 3, it says, God said, right? He spoke it. He said, let there be light. And so we know God is the supreme creator. He created everything in the world by the power of his word. He spoke it into existence. But here we have Sora that is mimicking the powerful creative actions of God by creating realistic videos from only a written prompt. It's like saying in a very, you know, make-believe scripture, and Sam Altman said, let there be a figure skater gliding across a rink with a white cat on her head as she nails a triple axel. And it was so. Ugh. That sickens me. Because for those who do not know the gospel, those who have never read the Bible, those who do not understand biblically the creation account, and maybe they believe the Big Bang Theory or whatever, these AI features make them feel godlike because they can just speak it into existence, just as God did. Okay, if we continue on in Genesis, we see that while all of God's creation, the earth, the land, the sky, and the sea, and the animals are created to reveal God's glory, only one part of creation was deemed worthy of God's image. Genesis 1:27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So God then invited the man and woman to share in his divine attributes as creator and ruler. In Genesis 1:28, he says, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. You see, however much Sora seems to mimic the divine role of creator, we know AI cannot create life and it cannot reveal truth. As humans, we know this from Genesis. Only we can create life. As humans, we are created to live and know God's truth. And he reveals himself through creation and by his word so that we can know him and that we can know truth. Truth is what grounds us and it's what gives us purpose, right? We know that all truth is God's truth. And we know, John 14:6, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Without a Christian worldview and a biblical understanding of creation, life and truth become these subjective realities, and confusion and despair are the natural consequences of living in a world without objective truth. And that confusion and despair causes us to lose sight of our Creator. And when you lose sight of your Creator, you also lose sight of the image bearers that are living embodied lives, you know, all around you. Those image bearers can just become potential cameos or fodder for content in a quest to create and be seen and be known and be renowned. What happens when we reduce people to their digital likeness and define their dignity with a text prompt? You know, we diminish the reverence to the one whose image they bear, right? We are all image bearers of God. We understand that as an objective truth from Scripture. And when we go and create deep fakes of someone, when we reduce them to their digital likeness, we are dishonoring God. We are not bringing him glory because it's just an abomination of this. And we see exactly this described in Romans 1:18 through 32. Verse 18 says, the wrath of God is being revealed against all the godlessness and wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, understood by what has been made. So you see, the truth is being suppressed or really supplanted by all of this AI slop, right? Every single person living on this earth has the evidence for the Creator before their eyes. They can see it in creation by what has been made. But this truth is being suppressed by technology, by AI, by the excessive amount of time spent staring at a screen rather than in relationship or doing any sort of redemptive work that contributes to societies, that betters the world. That is our purpose. But it's all being suppressed and supplanted by all of this technology and media that is so easy to consume. And when we feel like that it's real, we feel like it's important, we feel like that's our purpose. And the reason that is and why that's such a growing thought in everybody's mind is because there is a growing transhumanism worldview. The transhumanism worldview believes that technology is the cure for the human condition, that technology will overcome human limitations, such as aging, disease, and even death. And this worldview holds that humans should really enhance themselves technologically, whether that be through genetic engineering or AI, in order to evolve as post-humans. Now, this idea of post-human, it's the idea of man and machine together. And maybe that's, you know, an implant in your brain, but it's not just man becoming machine-like, it's also machine becoming man-like. That's what this worldview believes. And you can see this subtle worldview emerging everywhere. On one of the blog posts from OpenAI describing the sort of algorithm that was going to drive the feed, it literally says, we know that these recommendation systems are living, breathing things. No, 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 they are not living and breathing. We as humans are living and breathing. A recommendation algorithm is not living and breathing. But that's what happens when you believe that man and machine are merging together. You basically anthropomorphize, or you give these human characteristics to technology, even though they're not there. And why is this? Because they've lost sight of their creator. They've lost sight of truth. And when you lose sight of your creator, you lose sight of truth, you naturally look for those principles. You look for truth. You look for your creator somewhere else. And that's exactly why Romans 1:21 says, their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being. And in verse 25 says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the creator. Okay, that created thing is technology. That created thing is media. That created thing is all of the content that everybody is consuming. When you are spending 8 to 10 hours a day online consuming content, you are worshiping that. You are serving that created thing rather than the God of creation. And this is what happens when we allow technology to distort truth. We begin seeing it as all powerful, all seeing, all knowing. We begin to see technology as the God. People put their hope and trust in technology to save them, like to literally save them from death. And these technological innovations like Sora, they are distorting the truth on such an irreparable scale that especially in the hands of young and impressionable minds, it can lead them to a total misplaced hope in the world. Heck, even before the eyes of mature adults, it has the power to do this. And what's most tragic of all is it's being marketed for the ultimate purpose of entertainment. I mean, they may not be saying that, but when they say that creating cameos of people is the most joyful reason to be using this, it's so silly. And we think to ourselves, yeah, but I mean, are we really, what's the trade-off? I mean, it's not that big of a deal. You know, we hear the story of like Jacob and Esau, and how Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. And we laugh at the stupidity of that. But that's exactly what is happening today with young people. They are exchanging the truth for a lie. They're exchanging the truth for their God-given purpose. They're exchanging that for entertainment. They're exchanging their hope and their salvation to scroll, to watch, to numb themselves. Now, I'm going to argue that it really isn't enough to just not allow your kids to use the Sora app or to use ChatGPT or really any of its relatives. They have to know God's truth as well. Just banning it doesn't help them understand and have a foundation that is unshakable. They have to know the answers to life's biggest questions of like, why am I here? What is my purpose? They have to know that they're not here on this earth to be comfortable and to be entertained and to just be cared for by others, right? They need to know their purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, right? That's the chief end of every human life. And that means glorifying God in how we work, how we spend our free time, how we love others, and how we know and how we love and live out God's truth. And social media is corrupting this purpose. Video games is corrupting this purpose. AI chatbots corrupting this purpose. Apps like Sora is going to corrupt this purpose. Now, I know, like it or not, we have a lot going against us as parents because we have to instill these fundamental truths. I mean, most of what I quote was Genesis and Romans. So even if you just take your kids right there, you can help them establish a foundation of truth. Honestly, I believe that your teenagers are actually poised to understand the concerns that you're going to likely have with Sora. I think that they can recognize that there is an inherent danger with deep fakes as entertainment. I think they can envision when you describe it, if they don't know exactly where it can go. I think they can envision. I think they can go along with you and say, yeah, I can see how that could go wrong really fast. I wouldn't want, you know, the peers in my school to have my likeness and voice in order to do that. And even if they have the same morbid curiosity that most of us have, you know, in that, you know, we're curious. It is a curious thing to think, oh, I wonder what it would look like to see a video of myself, you know, doing some amazing feat. Well, all of that should and can be overridden by the reality of its dangers. We should not be people who give in to every temptation and every curiosity just because we can and it's available through an app, right? And that's what you need to teach your kids. You need to teach them to say, hey, just because we can doesn't mean that we should. The Apostle Paul says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And that is exactly the lens that we need to look at this type of AI app through. Now, you might be thinking, you know, Kelly, it's really easy for you to say this because you've just done all this research and you know all this tech and you have this knowledge or whatever. That's what people always tell me. But you know, I can't do that. I don't know how to have that conversation with my kids. So I know it's hard to have those conversations, but it's so, so necessary. So I've created a family discussion guide for Sora, and you can download it for free. It's going to be what you need to just get you started in that conversation about Sora. And I really pray that it gives you the confidence to set that standard for, no, we're not going to be using this in our home, but it will help guide your conversation and ask questions of your kids that are just open-ended, that don't sound like you're really trying to get too like deeply theological, but just helping them think through. And if you're like, you know what, my kids are not going to have that conversation with me, give it to a friend. Let a friend have that conversation with your child. Give it to the youth pastor. Maybe the youth pastor needs to have that conversation with everyone in the youth group. Give it to a small group leader, you know, teacher, if you know them. I mean, like, this needs to be discussed with kids. We can't not discuss this because it's going around. It is the number one downloaded app in the App Store right now. It is almost a guarantee that they know about it, whether or not they've gotten access to it. So you can download the family discussion guide in the show notes of this podcast. You can also download it from our Brave Parenting Guide to Sora that is available on braveparenting.net. If you have any questions, I'm so happy to answer them. Please reach out. You can email podcast@braveparenting.net and just ask your questions, maybe about Sora, about anything that you might have. Happy to answer them individually. All right, friends, that is what I have for you today. Thank you so much for joining. Share this podcast with a friend. Just help other people get this message and understand from a biblical worldview what an app like Sora is all about and why we must keep our kids off of this app. Thanks so much, friends. Until next week, go and be brave.